Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about the most important tool in the actor's toolbox. I'll explain. Empathy. It's the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing from within their frame of reference. That is, the capacity to place oneself in another's position. Boy, if that doesn't sum up acting, I don't know what does. I was thinking a lot about empathy recently. I get emails from people frequently asking me, what they can do on their own. You know, how can they practice? It seems that the more people that hear about the Real Life Actor approach and then kind of get involved in it, realize that perhaps indeed there may be a more streamlined, less moving parts kind of way to successfully approach acting that isn't overwrought with overthinking and pre-planning. And so I guess the downside of people listening to the podcasts or reading the book is that then they find themselves in a sea of the other stuff suddenly, because most schools of thought these days still, you know, dabble in the black arts of old-style antiquated acting. And so they find themselves suddenly losing taste for the place they were training and now ask, if I don't go to those types of old-school classes, what can I do on my own? That's the question I get asked a lot. And there are a lot of obvious answers. You know, you could say, well, I don't think actors really study history enough. I don't think they sit and watch films, if nothing else, the Oscar-winning films from each year. The great actors, people that were considered great during a certain time, and you know, watching them, watching the work, really getting a good understanding of all the history of cinema and certainly what they like about acting, and kind of enhancing, you know, their knowledge historically of the field that they're in. And I don't think enough people spend enough time doing this. I think that really most people are distracted, and you know, we've got plenty of reason to be distracted. We've got so many things that we're trying to get going on so that maybe one of them will work and lead to something else. And we're constantly clawing and scratching and trying to get things to happen in the industry. So we are a little distracted, a little preoccupied with, trying to get a career going and things. And it seems almost like it would be a luxury to do something like that, to try and watch an Oscar-winning film from each of the years, to do some sort of research or history or watch. It's amazing how many times, I've asked people, have you ever seen Chinatown? Have you ever seen the original Godfather? Have you ever seen a Taxi Driver? Anything. Have you seen any of the films that made the current great actors? What the things that made them great? You know, Pacino's first and second film, De Niro's, Meryl Streep's, you know, the people that you like. Where did they come from? What did their acting look like when they started? What did you see that was interesting about it? And, you know, this type of stuff, I know it may seem like a luxury, but I do think it's important. That's one thing you can do. What I've decided is that I'm kind of fixating on empathy. I mean, it basically describes, you know, acting and what the actor is supposed to do. To have that ability to put yourself and to see it from someone else's point of reference. If there was a way that people could spend more time focusing on empathy, practicing the art of empathy. I mean, if you think about it, sometimes a lot of people are quite instinctive with empathy. There are people out there that just feel everything around them. Everything that goes on distracts them. Every cat that meows, every dog that barks, every kid that cries. You know, they watch all of this stuff and they have a feeling for all of it and they become preoccupied with all of it. Oh, those people aren't necessarily actors. And I think it's certainly helpful when they are. I don't think people practice an awareness of empathy enough. And I do think it has a lot to do with the times. I've mentioned it before, but you know, we're always staring down at our phones. Everywhere we go, every time we're standing in line, at a bus stop, on public transit, in the car, driving the car, as a passenger in the car, you know, waiting for our plane, on the plane. It is a constant thing. I do it myself, of course, and I've talked about that, but I just know that I came from a time when we didn't have any of that, and that there was more time spent just because you were forced to actually look around and, if you wanted to amuse yourself, try and comprehend the world around you. And so perhaps that led to more of an awareness of empathy, you know. I mean, if for no other reason, we sit there and to amuse ourselves as we watch people perhaps having an argument or somebody muttering to themselves or whatever we're seeing, to amuse ourselves, perhaps we try and figure out what has brought that person to this state. I wonder what that person's relationship is like with that person. I wonder what they're arguing about right now, and I wonder how that woman is feeling about the way he's treating her right now. Clearly in front of the rest of us. I don't think people do that enough. And it's interesting because, of course, actors you would think would be the doctors, the professors of this kind of stuff. And I think that for the most part, they in many ways may be practicing this awareness the least, because of the aforementioned preoccupation with the machinations of trying to be an independent contractor. You see, you're not working for anyone in your career as an actor, so you're constantly scratching and clawing and digging and trying to find a way in. It's a distraction. But nevertheless, I think that the most powerful, most interesting actors are the ones that I'm sure in real life are very empathetic. I say that, whether they realize it or not, because it seems that when they reveal their ideas through their work, it always seems to reveal to me a truth about human behavior that I feel is as a result of someone who sees it in life, has recognized it, and knows what authenticity is. And whether you have experienced these things firsthand or you've experienced them firsthand through having empathy and seeing things through other people's eyes in real time during that moment, I think you benefit so greatly as the actor. Here's one thing it cures. It cures that response I get, that line I hear from actors when they'll just kind of knee-jerk instinctively say, I don't get it. Why would somebody do that? That doesn't make any sense. Why would somebody say something like that? I don't get it. Why my character would even do this? You know, whenever I hear that, of course, I think to myself, are you kidding? There's a babillion reasons why people do things. What confounds most people is that they're forever looking at it from their point of view, from their frame of reference. And that is incredibly constrictive. I mean, look, some people live life real fast and have to do it early and are, you know, are wise people by the time they're 12, and other people go through life and really never have to kind of incur any wrath of any kind at any time. And their experience is very different. And that's quite often these people I just described try and be actors, want to be actors, and their empathy library is kind of empty. So what can you do? I think at every turn, at every stop, at every place you are, think it through. Whenever you have a moment, whenever you're standing in line, rather than staring at your phone, look off, look at people. Wonder what's what. Wonder why they would just do that thing. I wonder what your day is like that would make you like this right now. I was walking down the street, somewhat in a hurry, when I was in Vancouver recently, and an older woman, very short and slight, was in front of me with two bags of groceries or something, one in each hand. And she was kind of weaving a little bit as I was coming behind her. And for a second, I was annoyed, you know, like, you know, stay in your lane, lady. And then something just clicked. And, you know, I came back to a nicer reality. And I thought, my goodness, how long have you been walking? How tired are you right now? How heavy are those bags? What is your life like that you're out here at your age, looking as frail as you are, with two bags that look relatively heavy, and I just get a sense you've still got a long way to go. And as I walked past, I just glanced at her face, and it did look a little dazed. Now, thinking about these things doesn't make me a better person, although it probably does get me from getting a little too anxious or impatient. But I think it just continues to broaden out my sense of other people. Quite honestly, I feel like I get too empathetic at times. You know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. It seems like I'm a sucker for every moment I see. Now, granted, I have voluntarily made this my obsession, you know, my preoccupation with human behavior and everything. But a few weeks back, I saw a girl sitting on a concrete little stair in a little doorway. And she was just wailing, man. She was just crying so hard. And it was that kind of crying that happens when you've just broken up with somebody that you love dearly and it's over. That's just the sense I got when I saw it. That kind of wailing, that kind of sobbing. And God, it just broke my heart. I just wanted to fall to the ground right there. I felt so bad for her. I wanted to go over and put my arm around her, you know. I just thought, jeez. I saw some lady pushing a homeless lady pushing a cart across the crosswalk, you know, totally bent over with her head, you know, in line with the top of the cart, just pushing. And if you know, at a 90-degree angle at her hips, just over, and just this thing was going so slow. And I was sitting there waiting for her, and then I thought, you know what is amazing? Is that she isn't giving up. I mean, she isn't just collapsing to the ground and just saying, take me. She is trying to get this shopping cart with whatever's in it across the crosswalk, bent over at the waist, pushing slowly. Just, it seemed like such hard work. And I just marveled at a human's desire at times not to give up, even in the worst circumstance. Now, where do we use that? Well, maybe we don't. Maybe we go through our entire lives and we never use that. You never play that part. You're never that lady walking with heavy bags. So what does it have to do with anything? I think a problem today is that people just really don't, less and less, they don't have an appetite for other people's problems. I think that is something that's definitely people have less patience for. And not out of meanness. I think people tell themselves, man, I got so many problems of my own. I just can't, you know, I don't want to focus on this too, you know. And so we turn away. We don't think about it. We see the little kid there with the dirty face with the homeless mother, and they're standing there, and you wonder about that little kid, and you feel bad for the mother, but you shut it down. You shut it down because you don't want to feel too much, and you got things you got to, you know, you're saving your feelings, you know, for yourself, for the things you got to deal with. Life's hard. I think that what it does do, this practice, this allowing of these feelings to kind of surge in, if only for a moment, to be aware, to see things, to clock them as they happen, I think it stretches out the heart. I think it makes it bigger. I think it keeps it open. And I think this sense in ourselves, our compassion, our ability to see things, I think is broadened and opened up, and it is kept fertile. I think actors are too limited quite often in their assessment of how they see things, or why a character feels a certain way. I think that's why it's always so limited. That's why you hear ridiculous lines like, you know, my character wouldn't do that. when if you just stop to think about it, man, people do everything for every reason in the world. I don't think actors see things from different angles enough. I think people more often give other people short shrift in regard to some kind of thing they did and why they did it, you know, some mistake a friend makes, some oversight, something. I think that we tend to give people very short shrift and we don't really think about what they may be going through. I had an actor come in and talk to me about their agent and how, you know, she said, I don't think it's working out. I went down, we had a talk. They said they were going to do these things that week. And then, you know, it's just nothing happened. And she was very disappointed. And of course, I'm quick to point out, you can't rely on these other people. Your career is your career and you have to do it. We can't waste our time being upset for other people's performance because there is so many reasons why people don't get things done that they said they would. And it's not just because they don't like us or wish us ill. You know, who knows? Their uncle got cancer that week. Their friend's baby was born. They fell ill. They have an illness you don't know about. They're running out of money. Their mortgage is due. They broke up with their whoever. Their dog died. I mean, there's so many reasons why things happen. And I don't think people think about these things enough. They don't even ponder them. They don't even imagine that there could be. There is just this. I don't get it. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I'd never do that. I don't see why that person would do that. And they get preoccupied with it. And I'll have to point out, you're upset because you wouldn't do something like that. But this other person isn't you. And we don't know why this other person didn't do that. And until you do, you're just frustrating yourself because you don't have the ability to see it any other way but from where you're sitting. And it's so funny that in reading that definition at the beginning of this podcast, how that really, when you read the definition of empathy, it is basically the instruction of what the actor is supposed to do. In the last podcast, when I was talking about how the character in the movie The Savages, the sister, how one might justify how she could get to a point where she would have lied and told people she in fact got a Guggenheim grant when she didn't. If you heard it and if you remember, the way we got there is by saying, what is the most kind of justifiable way that you could see, that you could look at it from that position, all things considered with the family dynamics, what is the most kind of innocent way that that could have actually happened? What is the most almost justifiable way? You know, the way we got there was pure empathy, was just really thinking about what she was going through, how she was overshadowed by her brother, this, that. You know, I mean, really exercising empathy, separating it from yourself, saying, okay, this person, yeah, I can't understand what they did, but now let me separate it from my sense of everything and how I would do something, and let me see, can I find a justifiable reason from another point of view why someone would do that and why they would think that would be okay? When the exercise, I can't, it's impossible, can't do it. You know, I think, man, how are you ever going to be the thing you want to be? Your job is to come up with a way that, man, it makes so much sense, it almost makes sense. That's your job. And that all begins and ends with empathy. I was sitting in class the other night, and one of the actors did a monologue from Call Me By Your Name, that lovely movie. And he was doing the part of the father who was speaking to his son, and being so empathetic in his understanding and wanting the kid to understand that he understood and that basically, of course, it was okay. In fact, it was better than okay. The actor did such a wonderful job. It was such a beautifully rendered moment. And as I was watching it, I thought, you know what makes this work is the actor who was doing the monologue, his empathy for his son in seeing it from his son's point of view and really taking into account what his son is probably feeling, what his son is probably feeling at that moment sitting across from his dad, what he's feeling knowing that this is the moment he's been busted. His dad knows all about it. The man that he had this thing with is someone that works with his father. You know, there are so many things that, of course, anyone with empathy would be aware of, that what really dictated this actor's performance and what made it so lovely was that it was all about understanding what the son was going through and then speaking to that in order to soothe what the son was probably going through. And it made me think about, again, how in old school thinking of acting, there is such a preoccupation always with me, I, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I'm going through, what my action verbs are, where my beats will be, where my, what I want, what's my choice. It is so self-obsessed. But if you think about it, what makes us such great communicators in life and makes some better than others is empathy. Because when I speak to you about problems, what makes me so good at being able to communicate with you is to communicate my thoughts, but based and tailored to my understanding of the way you're seeing things. Right? Because if I'm keen that way, if I can really understand what you're going through, I have a much better chance of being able to address that and clarify my position or get you to see what I'm saying. Because it'll be clear to you that while I'm speaking to you, I understand what you're saying to me and I know where you're coming from. You see, this idea of empathy and being aware of what other people are feeling is what makes us such great tailor-made communicators. The other thing that's great about it is yet another reason for the actor not to sit and dwell in their own heads. Because the people that are most successful in life and most adept at communicating spend a lot of their time, I would think most of their time, thinking about what everyone else is feeling in the room, what everyone else is trying to say, what their position is, where they're coming from, what it is they're trying to say, what is this point they're trying to make, and why are they trying to make it, and what is it based on coming from their point of view? The more empathetic you are, the better you are at understanding that, well, only stands to reason that then the better the communicator you are. And so, I think the better the actor you may be, because that in the end is what finally tailors and sharpens every performance. And so, what you need to do is stop with this inward preoccupation. Stop becoming completely obsessed with everything you think you're feeling, why you should be feeling it. Me, I, stop it. Start focusing outward on the people that you're communicating with and really try and honestly, with all the empathy you have, assess their point of view. Why they could be feeling the things they feel. What their justifications are for the way they feel them. And make them as reasonable as you can. You see, if you simply look at something and you say, well, the guy's wrong. He's just wrong. He's just dead wrong. He's just dead wrong. Your ability to communicate, to win with any kind of decent nuance will be hard to attain. Because you've made the confrontation, this conflict, a black and white issue. But you see, if you stop and you really think about it from the other person's point of view, and you think about what their justification is, and you make it, as you would for your own character, and as I keep telling you all that you need to do, you make their position, their point of view, as reasonable, as righteous, as justifiable as possible, your ability then to negotiate with that person will be much more keen, because you will be speaking to an argument that is much better made. And that will bring your level of communication and your position, your point of view, it'll bring that up. It'll be more, like they say in war, a surgical strike. That's where fine, keen acting is. And I do believe it all starts with our ability to empathize and to do it keenly. Okay, that's what I have for this podcast. I am currently sitting in Toronto. I arrived here yesterday, April 2nd, and today, April 3rd, I start my classes for the next 12 days. I think I'm here. Classes at 4 o'clock until 6:30 and 7 to 10 almost every night. You can contact me at jeff@reallifeactor if you want the schedule. You can come sit in and audit a class anytime you like. I'll be back in L.A. teaching my regular class beginning on the 15th of April. So if you're in the L.A. area, please feel free to come in and audit a class there as well. All right. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.